Are you into the paranormal? Do you have things in your house that go bump in the night? Do you have flying orbs that come out of your closet? Or are your son or daughter having tea parties with someone who's not there and then telling you about them? Constantly talking about them. Does your son or daughter ever fall down on the floor and their eyes roll back in their head and they start talking backwards, drawing pentagrams on the walls? Perhaps, even, you've seen something come out of their mouth, like a huge spectral beam of light. Or you photograph something weird. For instance, your dog, looking at the ceiling, and howling for no reason. If this is you, you may want to download the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's official podcast at www.louisvillegh.com or on iTunes. Check out our podcast page for more information, and please, do something about your home, because it sounds haunted. Very haunted.
Area Paranormal. You can find us on the web at www.areaparanormal.com or email us any evidence for analysis at areaparanormal@gmail.com. And you are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Man, pulled that one together at the last second, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Never.
Thanks. You know, I got no problem pimping these guys either, as far as Skype's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a pretty sweet little tool
we're
using now for phone calls.
Yeah,
you know what we're talking about. Yeah, Brian knows what we're talking about. This is a great tool. Or Ron. This is a great tool we're using right now. And
it's
really manages the
better.
Quality. Yeah, the quality. I've heard nothing but great things about this from people listening to the show now. They're like, yeah,
they say it sounds 100 times better.
So thanks to the Skype people. Too bad you're going to start charging us for this stuff at the end of the year.
Oh, okay. Great.
What are you going to do? Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
And we have
I'm Ron.
He's been on so much.
I think Ron's actually going to go for the record on Ghostly Talk.
I think he might.
Visits. I think he's going to beat out Vance West from Trinity Science, possibly.
I think he might.
Or who else do we have on the list for most visits on the show?
Oh, geez.
I know Vance West is way up there.
Oh, yeah. Vance is way up there.
I think
there.
It was just Vance West, honestly. But I have to say, these gentlemen we have on the phone right now need no introduction. Ron is a dear friend of the show. He's been doing a lot. He's been coming on monthly, actually, for a couple of months here, hopefully for a very long time, with the mighty John Hutchison talking about their Philadelphia experiment.
And we love him.
Mighty John.
It's the mighty Ron, too.
The mighty Ron.
Love him.
The mighty Ron Milione. Welcome to the show, Ron. And also, we have Brian Hartnoy, also from TAPS, one of our.
And this is the first time I've gotten to speak to Brian.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Brian's been on the show. Yeah, how you doing? Brian's been on the show before, and we had a ride. So welcome back, Brian. It's great to have you back on the show again. How are you guys doing tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back.
That's cool. Ron, are you still there?
Still here. I was tuning in. I'm here.
What we were going to talk about tonight a little bit is, you know, earlier in the week, Ron gave me a call, and he's like, "Hey, dude, we're working on some really cool stuff here, and I was wondering if you guys had any openings for, you know, anything immediate." And I'm like, "Well, you know, we have a half an hour at the beginning of the show, we can work with that." But then we had some issues with one of our guests tonight, so I ended up contacting Brian and Ron and said, "Hey, dude, I got an opening here. Would you guys like to come on for an hour and discuss what we're going to do?" So, of course, these gentlemen, being the great guys they are like, "Heck yeah, let's do that. So it'll be sweet." So here we are sitting here right now. And what we wanted to talk about, I guess, tonight was some of the stuff that we had planned together for 2007. Right, guys?
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Definitely.
Yes.
Happy New Year, yes. Ron, New Year, yes.
Well, 2007, where do we want to start at, Ron? I mean, I'm going to kind of let you spearhead this a little bit. Where do we want to start with?
Actually, you want to start with Eastern State, Ron? No, go ahead. You booked mostly. You got Eastern State, so you go ahead, and I'll talk about Waverly.
Okay. What happened was I said to Brian, I said, let's really get this kind of worldly tour going. And since all the people have been watching Ghost Hunters over the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? Let's take them actually on the places that, you know, that we were wowing them on the show, especially, let's say, Eastern State. I said, let's start that as the flagship first haunt site.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let's bring the people out there. Let's bring them on the tour. And let's let them really investigate, you know, with us. And, you know, let's go check it all out. And what we'll see or what we'll witness, hopefully they will. And we're going to, like, do a rotation all night long there. And the public's been overwhelming. They've been saying, "This is great! Yeah, can we sign up?" And Brian and I said, "Let's make a let's make a whole road show of this stuff."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's going to be a whole weekend. Eastern State Penitentiary is going to be a whole weekend. It's going to be the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. Actually, 16th, 17th, and 18th is when we're going to do most of the investigating. The 15th is like when you come in, you know, go to the hotel, get checked in, hang out for a while. But it's going to be a whole weekend of just nothing but paranormal stuff, so it's going to be really, really cool.
What month is that again, Brian?
February. It's going to be February 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th.
You guys are almost going to hit my birthday, you know that?
Oh, we have to celebrate it, cell block 12.
No, cell block 12. Cell block 4, where I ran, dude run, and all that good stuff.
Oh, that'll be great.
We get to visit that
cell. We'll cut the cake at cell block 12.
Oh, that's nice.
Sounds great. Well, my birthday is the 22nd of February, so it'll be a couple days shy of that. But hey,
close enough.
It sounds like fun to me. That'll be cool.
And birthday lashings in any cell block.
What cooler of a way to like celebrate your birthday than at Eastern State Penitentiary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And then the whole birthday lashing, we could actually do it in cell 666.
Yeah, oh, okay. I like that idea. Yeah,
leather.
They don't blow themselves out.
I only want leather and leather only, okay? I'm going to make that very clear right now. If you guys are going to give me a whipping.
I'll bring it.
It has to be leather.
Extra large or...
okay, this is going into an area I don't want to go into.
Liar.
Oh. So we're going to start February 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. We're going
to
start...
And the reason for the 15th, because we have to get that Philadelphia cheesesteak.
Oh, all right. So the first day, sounds like we're just going to be goofing around.
Well, see, what we're going to do is me and Ron and my fiancé Michelle and his wife Lynn are going to get there on Wednesday, and we're going to set up everything up, make sure everything's is all set up for the fans and the other paranormal investigators. Mm-hmm. Thursday is going to be check-in day. Make sure, people are going to start coming in on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have a whole, whole meet and greet in the hotel. Ron's actually setting up the hotel as we speak.
Okay.
We're going to have that all taken care of that day. Friday, we're going to be a full investigation. We're going to have a lecture. And a question and answer, autograph session, all that wonderful stuff. The investigation will run all night. And then Saturday, do it all over again. Same stuff all over again, all night. There's going to be 100 people going.
Okay.
50 people will investigate on Friday. 50 mm-hmm. people will investigate on Saturday.
Okay.
And then Sunday, after we check out all the hotels and stuff, we're going to go find a place to eat and a place to hang out for a while. And we're going to do a little evidence analysis. Whatever you caught, on your travels through Eastern State Penitentiary, we'll look at it, try to debunk it, stuff like that.
Okay.
We'll have to reveal, and then the bonus part of it is we're going to try to take everybody's data and stuff and form a DVD. Here's a collection DVD of stuff that we gathered that all the people, the last couple of days, we'll put it all together as a collage.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be a nice little gift for everybody to have, a year down the line, like, look, I went with Brian and Ron to Eastern State. This is what I caught.
That's really cool.
That sounds like a really good idea.
I like it.
Like a memoir of a. It's actually funny you guys mentioned that because one of our dear friends, Tom, here, mm-hmm. who travels a lot with us and stuff like that.
That's the guy on MySpace? Tom?
Yeah, Tom. That's Tom. That's the Michigan Ghost Hunter himself, Tom. great guy. Great, great, great guy. He actually went whitewater rafting a couple weekends ago, right? And, what they do with this white water rafting, this group that does this for these people, they have cameras set up along the river, right? So when you start hitting the real hard parts of the river, they have the cameras rolling, and what happens is pretty much by the time you get back there and you land your canoe or whatever, the raft or thing or whatever it is, they have a DVD ready to go. If you want to purchase it, you can buy it if you want. It's kind of a nice memory. Yeah, it's really cool. He brought it home and showed it to us, and these guys, getting thrown around the river, nearly getting killed. I'm like, well, this is, right at the end. So this is the same type of thing, though.
What happens if you drown? So then your attorney gets it? And
yeah.
Know how to
shoot.
Yeah.
They have the video
no
for
you. No insurance for you. Here's the proof right there.
I can see that. You you're reviewing it at home later. Yep, there goes your Uncle Bob out into the river now. There he is. Yep.
Well, that is an interesting idea there, too, because I guess it could be used in two ways. If there was a death on the river, they may be able to prove, okay, look, this guy wasn't following the rules, and this is what he didn't do right here. You can see it right on tape. So
it's also an insurance.
He put in a case of beer, and it's not supposed to. Okay, right.
Full bottle of tequila and, a case of beer. I don't think he's supposed to be doing that
behind,
right now.
Look behind the raft. They're dragging a potato sack full of beer cans.
Do you see him trying to do a body shot right now?
Yeah,
that's where it went ugly.
These guys were partying, so this is what happened, so no insurance for you. I guess that's twofold. They can use that. But same thing for this excursion we're going to go on in February. You guys are going to make a DVD that's going to be put together for this of the evidence that was collected. So that sounds like a really good thing.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah,
it's actually going to be pretty cool. And we're also going to make sure that this is a paranormal investigation. This isn't just a get-together. There's going to be a lot of paranormal investigators coming with us. We have paranormal investigators coming from all over the country to come down to this. We're going to have five groups of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have group leaders, other than the 10 people. It's going to be me, myself, Ron, and a few other people, to be named in a little while.
Okay.
What we're going to do is every, since it's going to be a long night, like an 8-hour night, every hour and a half or so, me and Ron will switch groups so that everybody gets to rescue with us.
Very cool.
That sounds like a really, so you're going to switch out, but you said there's other people that are going to be, they're going to be leading up these teams too, but you want to mention that later, right?
Oh yeah, we don't actually know exactly who's going to be coming with us exactly.
Okay.
I mean, we have a couple people, but I don't want to, we don't have all of them yet. So,
okay.
What I was going to say about this is, these group leaders are not there to, you know, reprimand you if you're not doing, you know, you're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done. It's just so that nobody, keep everybody, you know, together, happy, you know, just in case there's one, like, you know, nutcase that tries to go off by himself or do something stupid, you know, it's just for, you know, for us, it can make everybody a nice experience while investigating.
Well, yeah, exactly, you know, and also I imagine to help people, I mean, this is going to be an educational experience, too, above anything else.
Absolutely.
If they get out of hand, we're going to put them in the death tunnel or something like that.
You can't put them in a death tunnel in Eastern State Penitentiary.
We got that set up for Waverly, I think. We got that set up for Waverly.
Well, that's what I meant. What it's going to take from Eastern State and put them right to the death tunnel in Waverly.
Get
out of hand.
We'll have to figure some other punishment out for Eastern State, it sounds like.
And the most interesting thing, too, we want to see how many versions of Dude Run that we could get out of that weekend.
Nice.
Well, I also want to tell you that we're actually going to be taking pictures down that cell block where we're running, where I ran. You know, I have people, like, running with me. You know, like the Dude Run.
Oh, that'll be great.
It's the Dude Run ride. Oh, here.
Yes,
yeah,
it's the Dude Run ride, yeah.
That's right.
Weezy's wonderful ride again, Weezy's wonderful ride away from a ghost, you know?
You must be this tall to ride with Brian.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm out.
That's okay. I'll just have Ron, or the Pitch Black, I'll just have Ron put a black sheet over his head and scare the hell out of everybody.
Nice.
I was just about to say that.
That's great.
This sounds like a ball. I can't wait. This is going to be totally great.
And then for everybody that's listening sent me an email to go, I just want to let you know we're getting to everybody. Not everybody can go. Obviously, it's only 100 people, so we'll be putting people on the waiting list.
Okay.
There are people emailing me saying, you know, can you let me know if I'm going or not? Most of that will be done the next couple days.
Okay. We're confirmed, right, guys? We're confirmed, right, guys? We're all set to go?
Did you pay the highest wage? I mean, yes, you're confirmed.
No, I'm going to massage you, right?
Yeah.
That's right, Bonnie, right.
We work on this barter system thing. So Bonnie just massages everybody, and then we're good to go.
Okay.
And, cool. And the other thing is, people are going to play with some really bleeding edge equipment that they have no idea what we have. Like, in other words, kind of a secret weapon. So we have a certain new investigation paranormal tools that they were able to try, and we'll just spread it and rotate it around in teams. So we'll see what their feedback is. How do you like it? Did you catch anything with this device? I'm not going to mention the devices now because it's going to be a surprise when it's going to hit around February. So it's going to be,
practically.
EMF detectors, of course, all that stuff is going to be there, but it's also going to be a couple of, brand new, rabbit out of the hat type of stuff. And who knows what we'll catch? I mean, it might be the best evidence that we ever came across yet.
It could be.
Definitely. And the cool thing is, you guys, everybody that goes can not rent it out because it doesn't cost anything to rent them out. But just all you need is a valid driver's license and sign your name on the list of what you took out, and you'll be able to investigate with whatever Ron brings all night.
Cool. So we're gonna be able to rent equipment that night too.
That's right, Scott. Valid driver's license, right? You hear that?
Oh, I guess you heard the story from earlier this year, didn't you? Great. Who told you that one? All right, so that's all I know. Okay,
that's probably me.
I assure you, I have a valid driver's license. I'm not that much of a menace on the freeways, I guess.
No comment.
No comment. Okay, great.
What, you guess. What freeways do you go down? So I make sure I don't go down those.
You'll see me coming to Eastern State because you'll see the fire behind my car.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All the anarchy and mayhem behind you.
Yeah. This sounds like a really great thing, and it sounds like it's going to be, I mean, as far as going out and doing an investigation, I mean, just by what you guys have discussed so far, it's going to be a very organized setup. And with that many people, you have to be very organized.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I have to say very, very much thank you to my fiancée, Michelle, because she's actually helping me book everybody and going through all the emails and stuff, because without her, I'd kind of be lost right now.
Aww, thanks, Michelle.
Oh, so you have the bottomless inbox, too, like we do over here, huh?
Oh, bottomless. I didn't think I could put that many emails in the inbox, you know, on a server, for God's sake.
But again, again, with that many people, I mean, it does require some real tight organization to make this thing to pull this thing off.
We're gonna have like a really good like handouts to these people, layout of the place. I mean, really a lot of visuals, a lot of stuff they could reference to. So it's really gonna be like a whole map. In other words, this is. Besides what Eastern State just generally has as a brochure, I'm going to go into the extra step and like kind of highlight like there. Here's some of the hotspot areas, you know. So
exactly,
you know, really give them like a hotspot map and let's go check it out.
Okay.
Exactly, and plus we're going to have your time limits. Okay, you have an hour and a half. Group A, B, C, and D, and E will have an hour and a half in these spots. Then we rotate, and then we'll rotate again another hour and a half after that. Make sure everybody gets to investigate all the hot spots before they have to leave that night.
Very cool.
So
very
switching
cool.
off all night long. And you guys said it's going to be about an 8-hour block per night, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
that sounds really exciting.
And you have full run of the place. There's certain areas you can't go down because it's not, they haven't refurbished it yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the places that we lived, sub-block 12, sub-block 4, Death Row, the outside, because it's like, we didn't see it when we went there, but there's supposed to be like some ghost cats running around the outside areas of that. And there's a bunch of places that we can
cell block 12, like he was just mentioning, Brian was just mentioning, cell block 12 is close to the public. So in other words, if you just want to go in there, you go there by yourself or with a group of other people, they don't allow, they have that closed.
Oh,
so, this is a special thing that they're allowing, that the public be able to get down and really check it out. So it's like, say, the full place. There's just a couple places that are closed just due to, construction reasons and, safety. But,
you can't go in the towers because the towers aren't done yet. And you can actually, we were lucky enough to go in them when we were filming there, but the public, you're not allowed to because it's, they're kind of, decrepit and starting to fall apart and stuff. So
yeah, that's similar to a lot of the prisons, haunted prisons we've been to ourselves. Is there are areas you just don't go to.
Right.
The floor is bad. You don't want to. And I've known there's been people, unfortunately, it's on some of the excursions we've been on where they think, and they, I've watched them get walked out. I've watched them get walked out, put in their car with a police escort off the premises because.
Oh yeah.
It's like, look,
that's one thing. That's one thing for us too. If we have everybody sign a waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody, that's why we have the group leaders too. If anybody messes around, vandalizes, goes where they're not supposed to, they automatically get removed off the premises, and they don't get a refund either.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's completely understandable.
Yeah, it's
because,
well, it's come to that, unfortunately.
But most of the people that are going are going to be, they really want to see if they can really witness or feel or catch something. That
right.
Gotcha. Oh yeah, with the people that have already booked for this trip is. Paranormal investigators, people that are really into the paranormal and actually just wanted to go to the Eastern State, and that's what me and Ron were talking about earlier. We wanted to, we've been to all these places, and the fans have watched it on the show. They're always asking, how can we go? We just wanted to do these trips to have the fans come along with us and experience the things that we experienced while we were filming.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing. It's a real rare chance to have something like that happen. I mean,
absolutely.
Do that too.
Exactly.
It's really rare to have people on a show that actually care what their fans think.
Yeah. That's really important.
Well, guys, if it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't have a show.
Absolutely.
So that's why,
that's right.
That's the main thing. So.
Well,
Hey, a little tidbit, real quick.
Yeah.
Did you know that there was a prisoner that was sent that was completely unique of the whole prison history, and it was actually a dog. They actually there was the Pennsylvania governor, this guy Gifford, he sentenced the dog, called a cat murdering dog, to life sentence at Eastern State. But he allegedly murdered the governor's wife. The governor's wife had a cat. The dog killed the cat. And the governor sentenced him to Eastern State Penitentiary. And I swear to God, he had a tag known as Charlie 2559. Now, the thing is, we have to find out what prison cell that he stayed at.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Stop. Everybody stop. Let me just paraphrase this. A dog murdered the governor's wife's cat.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
So they put this dog in a human prison.
That's right. He was sentenced to life at Eastern State. Happened on August 12, 1924.
Oh,
okay. And the dog died there. So one of the other things we might have to find out is there's a ghost of a dog.
Exactly. And you want to know one of the really cool things is this place, Eastern State Penitentiary, was built on the outskirts of Philly. And when it was built, people would stay there for 40, 50 years and get out. And they would go mad because when they were brought in, there was nothing around them, and you can't hear anything in there. The walls are 30 feet high, and they're dug into the ground 30 feet, so you can't, like, break out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And every single cell in this place, even maximum security, death row, everything, it's made for solitary confinement, and it's made, there's only one little sliver of light that comes in during the day, and you can't see anything. It's made for sense deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
And people would leave and go mad because they'd come out and the city would be built around the prison, and nobody could hear it inside the prison. So they'd leave, and it's like cars running, you know, driving by and stuff, and people would actually go crazy after they get out of the prison because they had no clue about this world.
Well, that's similar to the idea. We actually discussed this last week, I think, for a few minutes. If you were blind your entire life, right?
Yep.
If you were blind your entire life, and then all of a sudden, like with the crack of your thumb and your middle finger, you
what?
Snapping of your fingers.
I phrased that really bad. With the snap of a finger, you have vision, right? And it's been theorized that if you were to go from completely blind to being able to have full 20/20 vision, you would have a heart attack. Your brain couldn't handle that much input at one time.
Of course.
And the same thing would go. It makes sense that these people locked up for 40, 50 years, like you say, Brian, come out to a different world. I mean, for 50 years, there's a lot of changes, especially in this last century.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
Well, there's a huge amount of changes. I mean, the world went and got its, it's much more fast paced now, much more automobiles, all that stuff. And for someone to come out of that from a time where things were much slower, much more simple, they would go mad. That makes perfect sense to me, Brian.
Yeah, and back in the early 1900s, whenever you left your prison cell, you'd wear a mask. You wouldn't be able to see any other prisoners. They'd escort you to where you're supposed to go with a hood over you. Then you do what you had to do, and then they'd put the hood back over to you on you, and then bring you back to your cell, so you'd never see anybody.
Wow.
You think you're the only one there.
You weren't
allowed to talk anything.
I guess that's inhumane now. That's why they don't do that now.
Yes.
That would be very inhumane.
It's a little bit.
Well, they still have it at the federal prison level, like, you know, for example, 23 out of 24 hours is solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Quite a few of those people.
But still, you're still
doing that right
now. You're still
able
to hear people and stuff.
Yeah.
Still see people. So.
Wow. That sounds, like I said, that's obviously inhumane for today's standards. It's a different, but it's something they just do it a different way.
Before break, I have to tell them that the chat room's going crazy because of them.
Oh.
And there's a joint comment from the entire chat room that says they love the whole lot of Ghost Hunters and the way that you guys investigate.
Oh, there you go.
Tell everybody in the chat room.
Yeah, well, yeah, guys, we do have to go to break here, but I want to say before we go to break, thanks for coming on tonight. It's always a pleasure and honor to speak to you guys.
It's always a pleasure, absolutely.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun to talk to you guys. And we're going to talk, hopefully, in the next half an hour, we're going to talk about Waverly a little bit. We kind of covered Eastern State.
And then I have to issue the challenge.
And also one more thing.
Whoever gets the best evidence will get a replica of the Iron Gag, which was one of the most deadly punishments at Eastern State.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
Ah, okay.
Sounds like a prize.
Can we give Scott the Iron Gag?
Oh, I think we should take a break now. Don't you guys think so?
I love you,
I
want to
hear more about the gag.
We'll talk more about the gag later, okay? I understand the weekend isn't over yet, but, okay, it's Sunday night. Guys, let's take a quick break here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Al.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
I'm Ron.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Steve at MyParaSpace. You can visit us on the web at www.myparaspace.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
This is Bill Anero, CAPS EVP Specialist, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal. If you want to find more information on EVPs, visit my website at www.evpor.com. And if you want to find more about my music, visit www.lanero.net. You're listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Radio, the only paranormal radio that we're listening to.
We'll be right back. Jesus, lead singer of the band Zero Recourse, and when I've arisen on a Sunday, I will check out the world through the eyes and ears of my boys in Ghost Utah.
Have you heard Midnight Eclipse Paranormal Talk Radio yet? Well, then go to www.midnighteclipse.net.tc and find out what all the fuss is about.
Thank you, Keith.
You're quite welcome.
Hey, you know, I have to say, before we go any further, we have some questions in the chat room about the band that you guys just heard on break. We've actually received, I always like to mention this every show, that all the music you hear on the show is independently produced by independent artists who are out there sludging it out like we are every day doing this radio show. Some amazing, amazing musicians out there, and I want to thank each and every one of you guys for emailing me and saying, hey, yeah, play one of our tunes on the show. We'd love to hear it. So thanks, guys. That band that you actually heard a few minutes ago was a band called Amon Din, and they're actually really blowing up from what I've been seeing now. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about those guys on the internet and whatnot. So congratulations to you guys for going. They're doing some big tour, I think, pretty soon here. We've been getting some really big, like really wide submissions now, which I'm really happy about, because you know, when Ghostly Talk, in our infant stages of doing this little thing we call the independent music program on Ghostly Talk, a lot of the submissions we got were from, you know, more heavier ended bands, a lot of more rock oriented stuff, and we're getting a real wide spectrum of stuff now. So thank you to all the people that, you know, I really wanted to. People were like, you know, I love the show, but it's all death metal and stuff on the breaks. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's hear some different stuff. And people are submitting it. So thank you, guys. We really appreciate that. So, yeah, Amon Din, Amondin. I think that's how it's two words or something like that. Check them out. They're really cool. I like them, personally. I would like them, predictably, I think.
Very
so,
cool.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
And we have...
Brian.
Well, I guess we're done with that part.
Yeah.
Guys, I wanted to move on to the next. This is going to be in March, am I correct? The next.
Correct.
We're going to be taking. What's the dates on this again in March?
March. Go ahead, Ron.
I think 22nd. March 22nd. That weekend. Third weekend.
It is the third weekend. I think you're right, because we talked about this over the week, Ryan. I checked the calendar when we were on the phone. And I believe it is the weekend of the 22nd.
Yes. 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
And this is going to be at the infamous Waverly Hills Sanatorium, am I correct?
Be there or be squared, absolutely.
I tell you,
oh, yes.
Before we move on with this, we all are familiar sitting here with the wonderful Louisville Ghost Hunter Society.
Amen.
Some great people. Keith Age is just a great dynamite guy, and Dale and all those people out there. We were actually at the conference there back in September, and I mean, Ron, you were there. We had an absolute. We all had a riot.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, the stories still are flying high in the air about what happened that weekend. Those guys have been absolutely great to us, and they were the group that really spearheaded a lot of work at Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Oh, absolutely.
So much so that they actually put out this really cool thing. I don't know if you guys have heard this or not. I don't know if Keith gave you guys a copy, but it's the Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience. Have you guys heard this thing yet?
I took it back when I was flying back. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic because it's entertaining, but at the same time, gosh, is that thing so educational. You learn so much about Waverly Hills by listening to this hour-long CD. There's so much history there that they talk about, and all the things that happened, the horrible things that happened at Waverly Hills, that you really get a good feel for the place without even having to go there, really. But we're not going to worry about that because we're actually going there in March. That's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, exactly.
Waverly.
I mean,
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, bro. We're going back in March. I talked to Tina and Charlie, the two great people that own Waverly Hills, and I asked them, I'm like, can we do a retreat there? And she's like, are you kidding me? Of course. Uh-huh. So we decided to do this. It's going to be the same thing as Easton State Penitentiary, but on Friday it's only a half investigation from 12 to 4. That's how they run it.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be 12 midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning, which is fine because most paranormal activity doesn't happen before 12 and doesn't happen after 4. So
mm-hmm.
we're still going to get some good stuff, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if you go on the Friday investigation, you also get a lecture, which people on Saturday don't.
Oh, okay.
So a little more incentive to go on the Friday case because you get a full lecture. So it's going to be the same thing. Wednesday we're going to get there Wednesday, me and Ron and Michelle and Lynn, and actually we already know the other three people that are going to be doing the group leaders for that. It's going to be Todd Sheets from Night Watch Radio, Jim. What's Jim's last name, Ron?
Jim Snell.
Just Snell. Yes, and. My friend Donna, not Donna from Cass, my friend Donna, Scar's Donna.
Okay.
We call her on MySpace. She's a good friend of mine. She's a paranormal investigator, so she'll be one of the group leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get there on Wednesday. Thursday, with the meet and greet. Everybody's going to come in. We're going to have like a little hanging out session. Everybody can settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, we're going to have the question and answer, autograph session and stuff. And the 50 people that are going on Friday will have the lecture with the investigation. And then Saturday, we're going to have a little hangout time before the investigation, and that's going to be a full investigation from 8 to 4. And then we can do the full investigation, and then Sunday, we all check out, go find a place to go out to eat, and then we do the whole evidence review and analysis stuff again on Sunday. So, it'll be fun.
You forgot to mention we're going to have Sunday brunch in the Death Tunnel.
What's that? We're going to have Sunday brunch in the Death Tunnel.
I wouldn't want to eat in the Death Tunnel. I'm off that.
I'll do it.
I think we'll
do it. I would do it.
Extra bonus.
It's not for the hauntings. It's not for the hauntings and stuff. It's just I don't want to eat in a tunnel.
I share your opinion on that, Brian.
I'll do it.
I think I'll go to a restaurant.
Here we go, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Ron and I will eat in the death tunnel.
I would set up
a dining
table.
Bonnie in the death tunnel.
All right. So,
but we're gonna have all 50 people each night. The 5 groups of 10. We have full run of the place. We have the 180,000 square foot 5-story building that they call Waverly Hills. We have the death tunnel, the outside grounds, everything. Everything that you saw on the show, we get to investigate. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. I'm actually looking forward to it. I saw a lot of stuff myself. I had a lot of personal experiences there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know and even during the day, we actually, something that nobody knows about because it didn't happen on the show, we actually came back around 10 o'clock in the morning to take down all the equipment because we let it run overnight.
Uh-huh.
And when we got there, me, Steve, and Tango just broke off from each other and started getting all the cameras, and you could still see shadows moving around, and it was still active in that place.
Oh, wow.
So I think we're gonna find some really good stuff that those two nights.
Well,
hey, just give you a quick little history.
Yeah.
The Booth Brothers were there filming a horror documentary at Waverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Kept getting interference for a couple of days, and they kept checking their equipment, actually replaced some of the equipment, went back and still getting this interference. So they were saying, what the hell's going on? So when they did a closer analysis of the footage and stuff, they realized that they were capturing shadows, black shadows in real time that was interfering with their background footage. And they said, screw the horror film, we're going into this other type of, ghost hunting documentary stuff. That's what kind of springboard them to start the Waverly Hills, that they released last year.
Yeah.
So it was based on their actual getting this evidence right there that they really didn't realize that they were capturing this crazy stuff out there.
Well, yeah, they talked about that a little bit when we were all in Louisville together. We were discussing that, and they said, yeah, we were going to do a horror film, and it ended up morphing into something else because we were getting these weird things on film. What a great way to be introduced into the paranormal, by the way, too.
Absolutely.
You can ask for a better way. I know myself, I've been trying to get to Waverly Hills for a very long time, and the schedule at the time over the last couple of years has just been so busy. Finally, I'm hoping that we're going to be out there in March with you guys doing this thing too. So I'm looking real forward to going out and finally experiencing Waverly Hills for myself.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. It's one of my top 3 investigations of all time. The place is just, it's not just because of all the hauntings, it's just because of the whole history of the building. 63,000 people died there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from the time it was open to the time it was closed, that's an average of 1 per hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that's
kind of creepy.
A little bit.
They were actually, There's one story about the death tunnel, and what the death tunnel was, if somebody doesn't know, is they had a conveyor belt there, and they would just put the bodies in the coffin, close up, seal up the coffin, and start sending them down the conveyor belt, and there'd be hearses lined up down the death tunnel, and they just grab the bodies and put them in the hearses and take off. And one day, something got caught in the conveyor belt, and a guy went to fix it and got his arm ripped off. The other guy that was working with him just put the arm in one of the coffins and sent it along with the body.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Hey, you're talking about extra baggage. There you go.
No doubt.
Yeah, imagine, Uncle Freddy's cat gets open. I didn't know he had three arms.
Nice.
Well, I've heard so many stories. I heard a lot of them on, like we were talking about the Waverly Hills audio experience that was put together. And some of the stories I heard, literally my jaw just dropped hearing some of the things that these people went through. For example, when these people were to a certain point where they just couldn't breathe anymore, they were sent down to the surgery room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, and you guys can probably correct me on this. I believe that was it the second floor or the third floor?
Third floor was a lot of surgery. Was on the third floor.
Yeah, because
the second floor was the chapel and stuff.
Okay, yeah, so it was probably the third floor then. And what they would do. I mean, these people, they couldn't do anything. There was nothing really they could do except more or less, and there's a technical term for it that I completely forgot per usual. They would literally just have to cut them down the center of their chest cavity.
That's right.
Pretty much from their throat down to their pelvis area. And then open their chest up so they wouldn't have all that weight on their chest so they could actually breathe. The problem with that, though, is that they couldn't sit up anymore because if they sat up, everything would just fall out.
Nice.
Yeah. They also called the iron lung, where they actually put them in these iron lungs when they open them up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of like, well, you can't leave. You gotta kind of live with this box for the rest of your life, man. I mean, and don't forget, it was all experimental too. They were still trying to learn about the plague, and they were just trying this is a bleeding educational, not almost educational, kind of like a learning college of a hospital. So guys, do whatever you got to do to see if you can find a cure for this.
Well, it was also at the time this was state of the art too. At the time, this was state of the art, and I mean, Keith Age on this audio experience discussed this and said, you know, at the time this was state of the art, and there was like two or three things that you needed they thought you needed for this particular ailment, and that was fresh air, plenty of fresh air, right, plenty of rest, and then really good nutritious food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for today's standards, that's asinine. That's like,
yeah, of course.
Where's the drugs?
The top floor was for the rich. So the people who had the most money would stay on the top floor for the fresh air. They picked that place because it has a great kind of like a cross ventilation across the county there. So if you were on the top of the sunroom area,
mm-hmm.
the outside. So, like, the nurses are probably, all right, you know, come on outside, hang out. In the middle of the winter there, people are just hanging out in their beds. They figure, help them out.
Well, they have pictures of people actually being covered with snow. They'd have the windows open, and these people would just literally be covered with snow because they were trying to get fresh air to get themselves well.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they would actually bring the kids up to the fifth floor, too, because that's where the rooftop was, and they'd have, like, swing sets and stuff, and have the kids play out there. And there's actually pictures of kids with tuberculosis that were, you know, playing on the swings and stuff. And it's kind of creepy because up on the fifth floor is also where that lady hung herself.
Yeah, the nurse. I heard that story.
Yeah, the nurse. Yeah, yeah. She was pregnant back in the 30s and 40s, and that was, you know, back then that was because she wasn't married, and that was a whole different story. So she hung herself, and she did a couple of other things. I'm not going to explain them on the radio. but she hung herself, and then you see her now up there. You see her running around, and that's where me and Steve saw a lot of our stuff. We heard a noise. We saw something moving behind us. Steve actually saw a pair of legs walk by the window. So it's kind of creepy up on that floor. It really is.
Well, I heard a different story. I mean, maybe this is two separate stories. I don't know. But one of the stories I heard about that particular nurse was that she worked in the ward with the mentally handicapped patients that were sick along with being mentally handicapped. And from what I understood, she just went completely nuts from having to deal with this so much, and that's why she just committed suicide. She just couldn't.
Oh, I didn't hear that story. I heard the.
It might be two stories. It might be two stories.
Well, 63,000 people who died there, so probably some a few stories.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. But the stories, I mean, the stories go on and on about this particular place. That's why I've always wanted to go there. And if anything, you know, one thing I want to mention concerning these areas in the Eastern State and Waverly Hills, there's a chance that if you're going there on this trip, right, if you're one of the people that are going to attend on this and you heard this show and you want to go, and these are pretty notoriously haunted places. We all know that,
yes.
Right? But there's a good chance you might walk out of there without seeing, recording, or getting a picture or anything like that.
That's what happens.
It happens all the time.
That's right. It's unpredictable, and the thing is just to have an open mind, and hopefully that, you know, they want to entertain us while we're there investigating. But sometimes you could have just a total, negative night. In other words, no activity. So.
Well, you know, but the thing I want to say about that, though, too, is, yeah, that happens. It happens to us here at Ghostly Talk all the time. And the thing
that
is, though,
so
what was that?
He said dead end.
So
well, no, what happens is, you know, you go to these places, and, yeah, there's been, like I said, a lot of times where we haven't experienced or taken a picture or recorded anything. But look where you're going, though. That's what I always like to tell people. And where you're going to Waverly Hills Sanatorium, a fantastic place, I mean, an amazing place, a huge place.
100,000 square feet. Exactly.
Yeah. And just going to a place like that, in my opinion, is a humbling experience itself.
That's the whole thing too. It's like you can't guarantee yourself you're going to catch something, mm-hmm. and you can't like go there and say, oh, I know I'm going to catch something. You know, I'm paying this money. I'm going to go and I'm going to catch some ghosts. And I don't want people to get disappointed. You might not. That's the whole thing. Your friend on the side of you might have an audio recorder, and you might have an audio recorder, and he might catch the EVP, and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Yep. You know, nothing you can do about it. That's the problem.
It's all unpredictable. We all know that.
We're going to provide the kind of the most bleeding edge equipment, you know, that they could take turns to try. So, I mean, we're going to come as armed as we can, like an army. And like, if we're successful, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
If not, but you know, it could be that the ghosts are on vacation, they're on a retreat that weekend.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. See Waverly Hills. Now, I've heard a lot of things, I've seen a lot of things, and I've witnessed a lot of things myself, but I don't think a lot of those entities, spirits, ghosts, you know, whatever you want to call them, I don't think they're harmful to you. I don't think they're negative spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they want to do harm to you, because I've never heard of any kind of case of those spirits actually doing something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, Eastern State is a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've not heard of ghosts, you know, those ghosts in there harming you, but you got to realize what those ghosts are. Murderers, racists,
right.
You know, just full-blown killers.
That's right. That's your best next-door neighbor, you know, friendly neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
well, it's a different attitude.
Take that back a second.
It's a totally different attitude. You're right, Brian. I mean, we're discussing Waverly Hills primarily right now.
Yeah.
We're with a group of people, 63,000 people who died there, who I think the majority of them were pretty harmless. I mean, these people were very sick.
Right.
And they couldn't really do too much. So they may, by that time, to really get into it, the meat of it, I think, you have a lot of people there who I'm sure know they're going to die soon.
Right.
They hopefully made peace with themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're ready to move on to whatever there is going on in the next chapter of existence, let's say. Whereas,
right.
You know, opposingly, you have people at Eastern State, which, like you just said, Brian, these are murderers, these are rapists, these are people who, you know, I don't really want to...
You're a scum of society.
Okay, all right.
Somebody I don't want to go have dinner with. You know what I mean?
Exactly. These are people that, you know, they're not going to... They weren't the... I don't want to say they were the valedictorian for their class. Let's just put it that way. These are people that, you know, they have mental problems. There's something wrong there. And I don't necessarily want to call them evil. I mean... I'm sure there was a few evil ones,
probably.
But these are malevolent entities that you were talking about at this place. I mean, with any prison, I think you're going to have that element. So
that's why I ran. That's why. See, the thing is, we weren't filming at the time, and I was taking personal pictures with my cameraman Dave Hobbs, who is now the director of photography.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, when he took a picture, like 2 seconds before he took a picture, the hair on my back, my neck stood up, my eyes started watering. I'm like, oh crap, something's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a joke saying, you know, is there anybody here like to speak with us tonight? And when he took the flash and flashed, you see this big black hulking shadow come out of one cell door, go right across the cell block into another one.
Oh, okay.
I kind of froze, and then he screamed, grabbed my shoulder, and took off. So I said, dude, run. I took off down the hallway, and literally, the camera's only about 400 feet away from where we ran. I passed him. I was not saying anything.
Brian, in regards to that situation, though, I want to make this very clear, too. I think with whatever transpired there, when you said, dude, run, I think that was a good lesson for people, too, because I've been saying it for years on this show. Like, look, if you say you're a fearless ghost hunter, you're full of it, because I get scared more than anybody. I think it's natural. I think it's human to get scared like that.
That's right.
If you don't, there's something wrong.
And trust your gut.
Totally natural. It's your
instincts, and it's your it's a defense mechanism, and that's inbred in you, and your defense mechanism, just says, hey, piss your pants or whatever. But I mean, it's an act of protection. It was you're trying to protect yourself. So
of course, you got to look at it like this. You walk down the hallway, and you walk down into this room when you're investigating, and all the lights are on, and you turn off the lights, and you're like, okay, I know the surrounding room, and all of a sudden something moves from behind the chair and darts at you. You're like, what the? You're gonna take off because that's what happens. Now, most of the time that we don't take off because I have somebody that's trained in paranormal, investigating along with me.
Uh-huh.
So we just document it. But at that time, I wasn't expecting no ghost to come out and say hi.
It's a good lesson.
I wanted to mention one thing too because I'm getting a lot of emails.
Okay.
They're asking us. If we can, they don't, I guess some people weren't clear on how many days they can spend with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole weekend. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you get there on Thursday, you have, 3.5 days to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only investigate one night, either Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
But you can be there the whole weekend to hang out with us.
Most they could buy us drinks at the bar after hours or before hours or dinner.
And that's another thing. If you're going to be going on an investigation that night, there's no drinking before. You can drink after. I don't care what you do afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody's inebriated while and they show up to the site inebriated, they're not allowed on the property and not allowed to investigate.
Right. I don't blame you guys.
Amen.
Yep. Now, safety's first, and we got to keep in mind, especially Waverly Hills. I mean, at the rooftop area, I mean, you could
pull off there.
And we don't want to call 911 at that time.
No.
And the other thing I want to mention, too, is that the famous room 502, did everybody get a chance to go investigate 502? And that's a story where, the nurse was found dead in that room, and that happened in 1928, and also in 1932 was another nurse who worked in that room and committed suicide also. She jumped from the balcony of that roof. Nobody knows why yet, but maybe we'll find out when we try to ask them a question. But the famous 502 is going to be a real hot spot in Waverly Hills for people. Hey, check it out and use some of the equipment, our equipment, and hopefully, we might get some answer back from the maybe the nurses.
Might get some. As a matter of fact, not to change the subject, but somebody sent me an EVP from the last trip, the Stanley Hotel trip that people went on after the Halloween special, and some kind of ghost mentioned my name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said, Brian, I'm in between, Brian something or other, and it mentions my name. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Brian's even famous in the afterlife.
That's a real humbling experience right there.
Well, hey, I just thought of a new acronym for us. If we're on the top of the roof of 502, it would be, Dude Jump!
Dude Jump, that's it. Oh, Ron, I just wanted to let you know, Michelle gave me a little idea for the slogan for Waverly Hills.
Oh, great.
Get admitted with Weezy and Ron.
This sounds like this is going to be a great time, guys. I know all of us here at Ghostly Talk are looking totally forward to both trips. And thank you for having us be a part of this, too. We're really honored by that.
Oh. And we're still working on quite a bit of other places and that we're going to try to roll out. So it'll be hopefully an adventure and keep going and going until we run out of hauntings.
This is a great idea.
Very cool.
I don't think we'll ever be able to do that, run out of hauntings.
Probably not.
No, I don't think so. There's just too many of them out there, and I don't think any of us in our lifetime will ever be able to investigate all of them, but we can do the best we can to get as many of them as possible, I think. So.
Hey, I just want to say hello to my
sweet mother in law Carol down there in Florida who's listening to the show tonight, sort of said all our love, and she wants to go on an investigation with us. She's almost 80 years old and she's ready to go.
Wow.
She's got an EMF detector and she's ready to go out and investigate.
Oh, and
that
this is
awesome.
This is a Ron on the show tradition. Ron,
yes.
Tell Manny I said hi.
I will. I'll tell Manny. I'll call him up right now.
Okay.
Guys, hang tight for 1 second. Stay on the line. We do have to go to break,
right.
Unfortunately. I want to thank Ron and Brian for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure. And there's some really cool stuff coming up here.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're looking forward. I mean, and the preparation, obviously, is pretty intensive.
Oh, yeah.
We're discussing this like 5 months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, it's going to be a great thing. We all know that for a fact. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
We're going to be right
Ron.
Back.
And Brian.
I'll never get used to that. We're going to be back here in our final hour with the mighty Philip Gardner all the way from England talking
very
to us.
Very interesting stuff
about,
there.
About the secrets of Solomon's Temple. We're looking so forward to that. Guys, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back after this.